Word on time. Can I get, I'll call the meeting to order. Can I get approval of minutes of the August 10th and the 17th regular meeting?
I'll move it.
One second.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. Controller Gallagher, would you like to, everything to?
Yes, thank you. I'll just take a moment of your time. I just want to mention that we released our mid-year sales tax report last week. That report is really based on collections. So the first couple months of the year of collections date back to the 2020 budget. But it showed a 32% increase in collections for the first 6 months of the year. Average increases during that time period have been between 3 and 4% annually. So I wanted to bring that to your attention. If you look by industry, internet sales were up $140 million. That's for the full taxable sales and use year. That runs March 2020 to February 2021. If you look at that compared to the year prior, internet sales were up $140 million. That's, you know, both spending because of the pandemic, but also the marketplace provider tax. I thought it was very notable. Beverage manufacturing was up 871%. That's because we have distilleries and breweries coming online, and, you know, it's a big percentage. It was 49 million increased in sales for that sector. I want to just also mention to you that we are awaiting a decision from Supreme Court Judge Lisa Fisher on the UCRRA case. It should come in the next 2 weeks. Hopefully it goes our way. A negative ruling would jeopardize our audit authority over $180 million in contracts annually for Ulster County. We received our final bill for legal work in that. Legal plus transcription and service of process altogether, the RRA suing us is costing $10,643. That's all I've got for today. Happy to answer any questions, but I just wanted to bring you guys up to speed. Thanks.
Thank you. Any questions for Comptroller Gallagher? Okay, thank you. Going to the agenda. Resolution 238, adopting revised Ulster County fund balance policy. Get a motion. Legislator Archer.
Motion to move.
Second.
I'll second it.
Senator Bartels. Discussion. Legislator Archer.
Yes, hopefully everybody got a chance. I know it came kind of late today. Final edits to the policy, we had CMA reviewed. We had Drescher and Malecki. I know that Amber also discussed it with the Commissioner of Finance. So I think everybody's comfortable. Where we ended up was addressing unassigned funds in the general fund. And I think it's a little clearer and everybody understands how we're going to calculate going forward. So I think that's what you have before you.
Any other discussion?
I don't think I was on that distribution, so I'd love a copy. Thanks.
Sure. And we'll make sure you get a copy. And I know this was something also that Legislator Ronk was very interested in. I know he's not here tonight, so I'm happy to postpone it for a final vote on next Tuesday. I'll make that motion.
Second. Mr. Bartels, any discussion? All those in favor on the postponement?
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. Okay, thank you. 239, replenishing tax stabilization fund. Motion, Archer. Legislator Archer, second. Bartels, discussion. Legislator Archer.
Yes, on the replenishment, we also did get a determination. ERP funds cannot be used to replenish the tax stabilization account. Both Drescher and Malecki and CMA gave us a determination on that. There's still a lot of gray area, and for us to kind of use ARP funds for funding that's sitting in our general fund because it was never used last year, it doesn't make sense to hold this up any longer. But again, since Legislator Ronk had an interest in this one as well and had an opinion, and I'm willing to postpone it till next week, but I think this one has to come to closure as well.
Okay, second for that motion. Legislator Haynes, any discussion? All those in favor of postponing? Opposed? All right, resolution is postponed. Resolution 377, amending 2021 budget for moving position of communication specialists. Can I have a motion?
I'll make it.
Second, Legislator Bartels, discussion. Legislator Walter?
I'm going to make a motion to postpone this as well.
Thank you. Second? Legislator Bartels, any discussion? All those in favor of the postponement? Opposed? All right, so carried. 384, amending the 21 budget to use the American Rescue Plan for COVID-related expenses. Can I motion? Legislator Walter, second. Bartels, any discussion? Legislator Walter, then Bartel.
So I just wanted to confirm what we were told in law enforcement, public safety, that everything that's on this are items that are not eligible for FEMA. Because that was a question that had come up in the chair's meeting, is does accepting this money or putting this money through with ARP then prevent us from asking for it from FEMA? And so we were told, share with everybody else, that each of these items that are being requested to be reimbursed with ARP would have not have been eligible for FEMA. And John, I don't know, Mark, you want to confirm that?
Correct. So this is the volunteer payments, the payments to the volunteers used at the pods and some equipment. And the volunteers are, you know, their personnel payroll expenses that aren't reimbursable through FEMA.
Just to add to that, if I may, Eve, I did send you the FEMA reimbursements or applications earlier today that you asked for.
Legislator Bartel.
Thanks. So can I just ask, just for clarification, does that mean that personnel expenses are not, are you saying personnel expenses are not reimbursable through FEMA at all? Or are you saying these individual personnel expenses?
The only personnel expense that's eligible through FEMA is overtime.
Okay.
So regular or stipends like this is not eligible.
Thank you.
Any other discussion? All right. All those in favor? Opposed? So carried. 386, approving execution of a contract for $156,121 for T-Mobile. Can I get a motion? Walter, second. Bartels, discussion? All those in favor? Opposed? So carried. 387, authorizing chair of the legislature to accept the governor's traffic safety committee grant. Good motion. Legislator Walter, second. Bartels, any discussion? All those in favor? Opposed? So carried. 388, approving execution of a contract amendment for $8,162 for NICOM code. Good motion. Walter, second. Haynes, discussion? All those in favor? Opposed? So carried. 389, authorizing chair of the legislature to enter an agreement with DCJS. Get a motion? Legislator Walter, second. Bartels, discussion? All those in favor? Opposed? So carried. 390, authorizing the chair of the legislature, help authorize the county executive to execute a contract with New York State Housing Trust Fund Corporation. Okay, a motion. Second. Okay, Legislator Haynes. Any discussion? All those in favor? Opposed? So carried. 391, approving execution of a contract, execution of a contract for $1 million. For Department of Economic Development as amended before you. Good motion. Legislator Walter, second. Legislator Bartels, any discussion? All those in favor? Opposed? Oh, carried. 392, approving execution of a contract for $600,000 for REPCO. Okay, get a motion.
I'll move for discussion. John, you're back on mute there.
Yeah, sorry, I'm not sure how that happened. Legislator Archer, discussion?
On the RUPCO agreement, it's not clear to me, Article 2 in the contract and this new verbiage with regards to sole discretion. We struck that in the prior resolution going to USITA. I just want to understand, and it's not clear to me why this new language is in the contracts, and what does this mean? Can anybody from the exec's office
Executive writer.
So this is template language. It's not new. Typically, it's highlighted in like blue for the departments, and they can. Let me just pull up the backup, but. You know, I believe that this is just template in all of our contracts and mainly planning, but I'll look it up. I see people shaking their heads, but it is in our template section. So.
Yeah, but you know, what does this language mean? I mean, I think there were different languages, different verbiage with regards to how many times a contract could be renewed. But this sole discretion, it's not clear to me what you intend with this language. And I hadn't seen it before. The first time I saw it was for the USITA. I may have missed it, clearly, if it's been in stuff before, but I'm used to seeing, you know, up to 3 extensions, et cetera, but not sole discretion of whether or not something does get extended. So I'm not sure what the change in the language. I don't think this had been in other contracts before. I asked at the economic development meeting, but I missed the RUPCO piece. I didn't see it on the RUPCO till I reviewed it for Ways and Means.
Any other discussion? All right. All those in favor?
Excuse me. I would propose to strike that until somebody can explain to me what this means and why I'm seeing it for the first time here. I'd rather have the language struck, and which is what we did on the USITA language. We struck that specific piece, particularly because there's an end date to this agreement. It's, you know, nobody can give me a clear understanding of why this all of a sudden is showing up in contracts. So if no one can explain it, I'd make a motion to strike that from Article 2.
That's a motion. Can I get a second? Let's say Walter.
So I just have a question, what the clarification of what that means then? I mean, does it mean that if there is an extension for a year, it wouldn't have to come back to the legislature?
Can I just request that we postpone this for a week before striking language, and I can get you an answer? But I don't want to see this language struck and then have it be something that the county needs, because this contract is, you know, between the county and RUPCO, and it's keeping it within, I believe, the county's description, but I don't have this contract in front of me in the backup that was sent, so I can't see it. So I'm requesting that we postpone for a week.
I'm willing to withdraw the striking of the sole discretion language in Article 2 and postpone until next week till we can get a sufficient reason and answer as to why this language is even in here.
Okay, let's say, Walter, you withdraw your second on that? Let's say, Walter, you'll withdraw the second. You'll withdraw the second from that?
Yeah.
Okay, and then you'll withdraw the motion. All right, so now, let's say, Archie, you want to make a motion to postpone?
I'll make a motion to postpone till next
week. Thank you. Okay, a second for postponement. Legislator Bartels, any discussion on the postponement?
I don't know if you can see Legislative Council has its hand raised.
I did not see it. Sorry. Legislator, go right ahead, Chris.
Thank you very much. And I just wanted to respond to Legislator Archer's comment. I'm happy to also reach out to the county attorney as well and speak with them about that provision to see, you know, where we're at in the negotiations.
That'd be great. Thank you.
Sure.
Okay. All those in favor of postponement? Okay. Any opposed? So carried. Thank you. 393, authorizing chair to execute an intermunicipal agreement with New York State Department of Information Technology Services. Can I have a motion? Motion Bartel, second. Archer, discussion? All those in favor? Opposed? So carried. 394, approving the execution of a contract amendment for $165,550.04 for I'm going to pronounce it, Newcastle Communications. Get a motion? Walter, second. Archer, discussion? All those in favor? Opposed? So carried. 396, establishing capital project number 605 for roof rehabilitation at Golden Hill. Get a motion? Somebody raising their hand. Motion. Sorry. Legislator Bartel, second. Walter, discussion? All those in favor? Opposed? So carried. 398, approving execution of contract amendment for $514,810 for Hudson Valley Roofing and Sheet Metal. Can I get a motion? Bartels, second. Walter, discussion? Mr. Bartels?
Really on both resolutions. I mean, I saw that a solar analysis was circulated on these two, and I'm not able to attend public work. So I don't know where the discussion led on that front, and I will in caucus get caught up on it. But I'm just...
I think Legislator Bartels, we're losing you for service. All right. Legislator Green, I think you have your hand up and wanted to speak on this. You're on mute. You're on mute, Legislator Green.
Thank you. These came to Public Works really immediately before the meeting, and I didn't have a chance to more than skim them. And I made some notes and spoke to it at Public Works, but I am also not an expert. I'm knowledgeable, but by no means an expert. I sent them to a few solar experts and got what I think was very good information from Tom Kakans, who's doing a lot of solar installations in the area. And his response, which I have shared, I'm not sure if it has been shared with the committee, but I certainly did share it with Public Works, and I did share it with others. And I would like to create an opportunity for him to meet with Mark Ryder and Nick Vazda, who used a model that was used for a former project for rooftop solar feasibility, and came up with, under that model, what seemed like sound recommendation, but Tom's analysis was what seems to me to be more complete. And I have experienced multiple times where projects that I think could have gone forward were solar or other climate solutions that were being recommended were either too soon or the feasibility study indicated that it would cost too much or whatever. And so I felt that it was important to get input from an expert who said he would be willing to meet with staff and review it and see if there is a possibility of moving forward with solar. So given the fact that we got the information at the very last minute, and I that's not a criticism. I know how hard Nick Vazda and Mark, for that matter, work. And the fact that they did a feasibility study at all is to be commended. But I think that the additional information would change the might change the recommendation. And so if it's not going to cause a major, major problem, I would like, I don't know if Ways and Means can send it back to Public Works, but perhaps we could invite Tom Kakandis and other solar experts to weigh in, but more importantly, to speak with the appropriate staff who developed the feasibility study. You know, everyone knows, I said that after the IPCC report, I was drawing a line in the sand. And this is that part of that line in the sand is not to just accept a feasibility study without getting other opinions and input. Thank you.
Thank you, Anna. Deputy Zaber Ryder.
I just want to reiterate that Tom's recommendation was to renovate the roofs, not to replace the roofs. So he recommended, he said, especially on the Restorative Justice Center, go ahead and renovate the roof, but consider still putting solar on top of it. So there's nothing in Tom's recommendations that would stop these current resolutions from moving forward. In fact, he said, go ahead and do this. It doesn't stop you from putting solar on that roof.
Thank you. Legislator Haynes.
First point of clarification for myself, and I apologize, I really didn't read the backup material for this, but I see it says the, is this for the Restorative Justice Center?
Both Restorative Justice and the Golden Hill Office Building.
Okay, I'm not familiar with the Golden Hill Office area or whatever that is, but the Restorative Justice Center, I believe that that's a flat roof system, correct? What about right. the Golden Hill roof?
Yes, and that's where the department, health department is up on Golden Hill. Yeah, that's that building. It's a flat roof.
These flat roof systems are antiquated. I hate flat roof systems. I understand there's probably a bigger cost incurred to do a peaked roof system, but these flat roof systems fail constantly. You're wanting to put solar on, you're putting down a rubber membrane and then drilling holes in it to attach antennas, solar, everything. There's not a flat roof system anywhere that's ever going to be foolproof for that type of plan. So, you know, I understand it's a bit of a tangent, but I don't like flat roof systems. I think it's something that we should look towards moving away from. Thanks.
Thank you. Legislator Bartels, are you able to resume?
I think so. Can you hear me now?
Yep.
Thank you. So I can only see one person at a time, but I was just going to ask say that I appreciated getting the analysis on the two roofs. I caught some of the end of Legislator Green's comments because I was curious what happened in, it obviously came out of Buildings and Grounds, but I was curious what the discussion debate was in Buildings and Grounds regarding the solar. But I also was curious where we were at with the legislative initiative that called for analysis countywide of all the roofs.
So the resolution required to do a study on all roofs. Initially, after the 2019 resolution, the money was put into the 2020 budget. It was part of the reductions and taken out of the 2020 budget, as we weren't doing studies of that kind during, especially the throes of COVID that we were in. Since then, and working with Tom Kinkaitis, Nick Hovsta has created, and so these weren't done through DPW, they were done through the Department of the Environment. And Nick has developed a way that before we do any work on any roofs, he can do a feasibility study. And if there's roofs that it would make sense for us to look at to put solar on now, he can do a feasibility study even when we're not doing roofs. But to do a kind of a countywide system when we may not be either doing work on them or the roofs may not fit. He is working through the buildings to try to get to, you know, all the roofs he can. We just didn't put money back into the 2020 or 2021 budget in order to do a countywide study by an outside consultant.
So can I follow on?
Finish, yep.
Chair Gavars? Yeah. So, I mean, one of the things, and I appreciate that. I mean, we were in an austerity budget and we continue to be in exceptional, uncharted territory and times. I get that. But I would say, and it's to the portion of Legislator Green's comments that I caught, the concept of waiting till we're ready to work on an individual roof in order to get that often means that at the point that, and I realize this was especially tight, but that at the point that we're looking at an analysis, we're also moments, days, weeks from voting on the work that needs to be done. And I think that the idea, and certainly we'll talk about it in our caucus because it was initiated by Legislator Petit, but I think that the idea of undertaking a comprehensive analysis in advance of work was so that we could make these decisions and sort of chart the territory way in advance and be weighing on that. So again, I understand the extraordinary times we're in, but I think that we have to revisit the directive. Certainly we need to think about it heading into this budget cycle. It's fine if we could do it in-house, that's great, but I would strongly advocate for not waiting until we're about to work on an individual roof.
Thank you, Leslie Walter.
Thanks. So, you know, I certainly appreciate that if the plan ultimately is to put solar on these roofs, you have to first fix the roofs. But, and speaking to Legislator Haynes' point, you know, as a flat roof system, there are other things such as green roofs and other approaches that have been taken to improve the sort of sustainability and environmental nature. Not to mention you can put solar on flats, but it helps for the to be a green roof. So I support the idea from Legislator Green of wanting to hear from people before I vote on this. So I propose putting this off till next week and maybe having somebody come in and let us know whether that's because if the approach is to turn it into a green roof, then maybe the work that you're suggesting being done is not the appropriate work to be doing. Again, for solar, I get that you would have to do these repairs before you would be able to add solar. But if the direction is a green roof, then you wouldn't necessarily be doing these repairs. And so I would love to hear from someone who really could speak to this on what would be the best approach for these roofs in terms of sustainability before we do anything.
Legislator Green?
Yes, I have lots of information about how to not penetrate the roof and how to prevent leaks if it is necessary from a solar educator and installer, Dr. Gay Knuff, who worked for NASA. I mean, people make a lot of assumptions and none of us are experts. And that's why for something as important as this, I reached out to people that I trust as experts. And so, you know, I just, given the last minute process that we've been through, when I read it carefully and sent it for additional information, it seems to me that at this point, given what we've just been through with Ida and wildfires and, you know, the rapidity at which the climate crisis is worsening, I really think we should take, it may take more than a week, it may take a month, but let's really come to a place where we understand so we're not making decisions, you know, without full information. So I really think it should go back to Public Works and we should have a full discussion there. But in any case, I would at least like it to be postponed. Public Works has not scheduled a special meeting.
Thank you. Chair Donaldson?
Oh, yes, this is a more of a repair and restoration type of a project. Something that, because they have various leaks throughout the buildings, and they are flat roofs, and you do have to constantly repair them. Like Mighty was pointing out, they can be a pain to deal with because, you know, any low parts, you know, you're constantly having to deal with them. And that's what this is. This is they're reflashing the entire perimeter. I mean, as an aside, I used to do flat roofs when I was in college. I did it for about 4 years. And I'm not an expert at it, but I did a number of them. But these things are something that once it's done, this repairs, that does not stop anybody from putting solar in it at a later date. These are repairs that probably have to be done, I'm assuming, or they wouldn't be on the list.
Is there parity?
Yeah, if I might, Mr. Chairman, you know, this is starting to sound like a never-ending saga. I mean, the what-if scenario. If it's necessary, it's necessary. But these what-if scenarios, and I've got a better idea. If it's not necessary, don't do it. But it's on the agenda. There are some people think it is necessary. And I think we should just move forward.
Thank you. I have a couple of questions to Deputy Zach Ryder. When do you know the age of the roof? When the left for either building or both?
In the backup or in the? Let me just see if I can pull them up. There, I don't. It was this committee sent the solar assessment because in that in the very back is the actual roof. It's assessment. That was used to determine, you know, how to best go, whether we needed to totally redo these roofs or renovate, repair. And so let me see if they have the date. I don't know, or the age of the roof in that. I don't have it off the top of my head for either.
All right.
One.
Well, all right. If you do come across it, just let us know. And I'll just say to answer as a sort of comment on this statement that Legislator Haynes had made about the flat roof. While conceptually I agree with you, flat roofs are terrible. Unfortunately for commercial buildings, they are necessary. They're all the mechanical stuff on them. You have to have it open to, unfortunately, the elements. And that's the downside of having commercial buildings with the commercial ventilation systems and heating and cooling. They are unfortunately a necessary evil. But if they're installed right, I will disagree with you, Chairman Donaldson, that if they're installed properly, and they go with a warranty on a system, it doesn't usually require a whole lot of repairs to it. So, Legislator Bartels, and then Chair Donaldson.
You know, I just wanted, through the chair, to ask for clarification. I realize, you know, we're having multiple levels of discussions at once, and I would like to ask Legislator Green if postponing for 1 week rather than referring back to committee at this point would afford the time to get some of these other questions answered or to get the experts to Ways and Means to discuss that.
Legislator Green, is that possible? You're on mute, Legislator Green. You're still on mute. She's in the other room, so I can hear her talking. So I know she's trying to talk. All right, we'll come back to
you. I figured out. I think it's a bigger question than can be answered in 1 week. But I don't know that I'm in a position to call for a special meeting. But if there's some way that Mark and Nick Vazda could meet with Tom Kakandis and perhaps another solar installer, so it's not just Tom, and some of us could sit in on a meeting just to get really clear about this project, then if we can do that within a week. But right now, my reading of his two responses, Tom Kakentis's two responses, is that it is different than the rooftop solar feasibility assessments that were presented to us and are dated June 22nd. I don't know what the breakdown was that we got them so last minute, but in the past, I've kind of let things like this go. And right now, I feel like we need to pause and get it right with everyone having a deeper understanding. And if we can do it in a week, you know, that's great. And if not, I would ask that in a week, Ways and Means refer it back to committee, or we can do that on the floor if need be.
You're mute.
That would help. I was wondering why he wasn't speaking. Chair Donaldson and then Legislator Walter.
All right. Yes, I mean, you know, I know what you mean, John. There is, if it's done exactly right, but, you know, the problem is with a lot of these roofs is there's a lot of different valleys, and the way they're made, particularly a very large roof, that's where you often have the troubles. I mean, I have a flat roof on my house, and I have not had a lot of trouble with it because, you know, it was done with a really good rubber, you know, one of those rubber roofs that are almost like a big giant inner tube. They do last pretty well, but the problem is the water puddles, and I do have to make sure that I get up there, take care of certain things with it just to make sure that it doesn't eventually grab a leak. And sometimes they're neglected. I don't know how old the one roof is, but the other one, the one on the restorative justice is, the jail or whatever you want to call it. I mean, that's not that old, but it was a problem from the very beginning when it was actually first built. But anyway, again, these are something that has to be done, and I do not understand how this would stop doing a solar project later on.
Mr. Walter.
Thanks. So I'm willing to make that motion to postpone it, but I want to reiterate that it may be a green roof that is the best thing to do here, which again, you would want to not do these renovations if we're going to go a green roof. A green roof improves the cooling in the summer, the heating in the winter. It reduces the flooding. It lasts longer than a traditional flat roof. It's environmental. So if someone's coming to talk to us, I want it to be also someone who can explore the idea of these being green roofs. But with that, I'd be happy to do a motion to postpone. But again, I would say, I agree with Chair Donaldson that if the solar is the plan, then you would need to do these renovations. I'm making the argument that it may not be solar that we want to go. It may be a green roof, in which case these renovations would not be appropriate.
So you're making an actual motion to postpone to next week's meeting for the purpose of exploring the best type of roofing to do.
Right, the feasibility of both the solar as interest by Legislator Green, but also the feasibility of converting these to green roofs.
Okay, can I get a second? Legislator Bartels, any discussion? All those in favor of postponing?
But I think Legislator Bartels might have had discussion.
You have discussion too? Legislator Bartels, go ahead, sorry.
Thank you. I'm supportive in the wait for a week, but I would also add on to what Legislator Walter just said that it would be great if the meeting that Legislator Green spoke of could happen, but also I think it would be helpful if those experts could come to our meeting next week in order to answer questions. in large part, I'm supporting the postponement because really, you know, we had been committed to really investigating these alternatives from the start. And again, I understand the extraordinary circumstances we're under, but we just saw the analysis, which was done in-house, came late last week, and Legislator Green is telling us there's additional information that we're not hearing. So I'd like to hear that information as well.
Thank you. Any other discussion? Chair Donaldson?
What was the vote in Public Works?
Does anybody know?
You said this here. Do you know what the vote was in Public Works?
There was only 3 members. I believe it was unanimous, but I think it would be telling to go back and listen to the members who were there and their thoughts on this project because they wanted it to move forward.
Amber?
4-0.
4-0.
Okay. All right. Any other discussion? All those in favor of postponing? Anybody opposed?
I'm opposed.
You're opposed to postponing, okay.
I'm opposed to it also. I think it needs to be done, and I think they've done studies, and I think we still are able to do solar if we wish to in the future.
Okay, Legislator Haynes, you're also opposed. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks.
I will be in favor, and I will just say, I'll sort of echo what Legislator Walter and what Legislator Bartel said, is if we can arrange this meeting, and if necessary, we have a lot of things we're postponing to next week. We could start the meeting at 5 instead of 5:30 to accommodate that joint meeting. We would do so. So,
just a quick question. What if you can't arrange the meeting?
You just said, Legislative Perry, you just say we can't what if anymore. So
that's right. That's my question. That's exactly correct. That's exactly right. Thank you.
If it's not possible, then we just have to vote with the information we have. Legislator Archer.
Yeah, it kind of goes back to what has been said multiple times. We keep having the same conversation. I believe in the environment group, they've asked repeatedly to let's do an assessment. Let's look at where we keep having these same questions. We have commitments about being green. And when we have an opportunity to look at it and to make decisions that start moving us in that direction, you know, it really doesn't happen. So either we're going to be a green county and we're going to be moving and being progressive on some of these green initiatives, and we're going to do some pre-work so we have a good understanding of where our opportunities exist. So I hear what everyone's saying, but, you know, this is not a new response. It's not a new request. We've asked for this information repeatedly and it doesn't materialize. And then we come to having to make decisions like this, and we don't have the appropriate information at hand. And I think to the point that Legislator Green made, you know, with Ida and the impacts of that and the fires, I mean, even Biden just came out and said, we are in a climate crisis. And if we don't start making decisions that help, even just in our small way of contributing to the positive side of this issue, then we're no better than the rest. So that's just my.
Thank you. All right. So the postponement fails because we need 5 to postpone. So on the resolution itself, do you want any more discussion?
Yeah, I mean, this went through Public Works. They did a study on the roof. They've done all the things that we were told that we told them to do, and they were doing them. So now it seems like that wasn't enough. I don't know. I mean, the job has to get done, and it does not preclude us from doing solar later on. So my mindset is let's get the job done.
Deputy Executive Ryder.
The one point I do want to point out that we did do the evaluation, the Department of the Environment. It was an independent from DPW, determined that we can do the renovations, but also that they did not believe solar was appropriate on these roofs. Now, the consultant that Manna Joe discussed, we can talk to and we can get their take after the renovations. I want to point out the reason that Nick Hovsta at the Department of the Environment felt like these were not appropriate is these buildings are both associated with community solar projects where we get 100% of the electricity from community solar for these buildings. If we were to put a solar array on top of the building, then we would not get 100% electricity covered. And it's easy enough to say, well, just appropriate a different roof or a different building to the community solar projects, but it's not that easy. And there's state regulations that get in the way. So that's one of the reasons that they are not suggesting that we move forward with solar on these roofs.
Okay, thank you. All right, we're going to go to Legislator Walter, and then we got to just keep moving here because we're just going to get bogged down with this. Legislator Walter.
Mark, just wondering if the conversation included green roofs at all in that assessment. I hear over and over again about solar, but did they assess the feasibility of making these green roofs?
According to
Mark, sorry. Please
proceed. No, Mark, proceed. Go ahead.
I don't believe that's part of the studies that they're doing as part of this analysis. We can, you and I should have a conversation. I don't think they're taking green roofs to account when they're looking at redoing these roofs.
Legislator Green, you have your hand up again.
Thank you. This will be my last comment. I know you do want to move on. With regard to green roofs, I think that, I haven't done the analysis, but from what I know of green roofs versus solar, right now, IPCC says stop burning fossil fuel. Green roofs have value. But I think that solar would have more value with regard to that mandate. And I use the term in the sense that IPCC used it. And with regard to the solar community solar project, the one thing, there was a lot of agreement at Public Works. I offered to draft essentially a memorializing resolution or a letter to our state elected officials asking them to change that law. We have to marshal our resources and implement solar at a much faster rate than we are. And anything that stands in the way, there's no reason why someone should not, have solar installed on their property, whether it's the roof or ground mounted, and not also be able to support a community solar project. That's an unfortunate regulation that needs to be changed. And I did offer to draft, I guess, what would be a memorializing resolution. Thank you.
All right, Chair Donson, and then Legislator Bartel.
Yeah, anyway, on the first, whereas on the second page of the resolution 396, it pointed out that the solar feasibility study recommended using a cool roof technology, which I believe is very similar to that of a green roof. It is designed to reflect more sunlight, absorb less heat than the standard roof, yet significantly save on energy reduction and the cooling load inside the buildings. So I think they did consider something of that nature as part of the study.
Legislator Bartels.
Thank you. Given that we're at this crossroads, I'm going to support this tonight, but I'm going to ask that attempts be made to have the meetings that Legislator Green's talking about, and that we attempt to get this information, which may change my vote on the floor. I just feel very strongly that we really need to be fully vetting these things. And I also hope that, that the next time that the questions get asked and put in the committee of original jurisdiction, so that by the time it gets to Ways and Means, many of these questions have been vetted.
All right. I'll go to Legislative Parity, but just one quick question for Deputy Executive Ryder. Do you know if we qualify as a government entity for NYSERDA programs?
We do. We've received NYSERDA assistance and in other projects.
But in terms of evaluation of energy efficiency and upgrades like that, for them to come out and do those studies for free, are we eligible, or is that only for non-governmental agencies?
We've done some like the Flex Tech studies and others, but I don't think that we've done, I don't think we qualify as a municipality to have them come out and do a free evaluation of like a roof.
Okay, thank you. Legislator Parody.
Yeah, this will be my last word, Mr. Chairman, but this whole exercise, this whole dialogue sounds to me like in the old days, I used to look for judge shopping. We'll find somebody that's going to say what we want to say. They've been through some exercise on this already. Let's move forward. Thank you.
On that note, all right. Any other discussion? All right. All those in favor? Anybody opposed? Okay, so it's like two opposed. Okay, motion is carried. Thank you. All right, for a long one there. 399, authorizing the chair of the legislature to execute an intermunicipal agreement with New York City Department of Environmental Protection. Motion? Mr. Walters, second. Bartel. Discussion? All those in favor? Opposed? So carried. 400, establishing capital project 606, Salem Road. Got a motion? Mr. Walters, second. Bartels, discussion? All those in favor? Opposed? So carried. 402, approving the execution of a contract amendment for $50,000 for Geostabilization International. Can I get a motion? Legislator Walter, second. Bartels, discussion? All those in favor? Opposed? So carried. 403, execution of a contract for $662,220 for NICOMCO. Can I get a motion? Legislator Walter, second. Haynes, discussion? All those in favor? Opposed? So carried. 406, accepting the accounting of unpaid school taxes for 2021-2022. Okay, a motion? Let's say Walter, second. Bartels, any discussion? All those in favor? Opposed? So carried. 407, authorizing the Ulster County Commissioner of Finance to accept redemption offers for real property taxes. Okay, a motion? Mr. Haynes, second. Walter, discussion? All those in favor? Opposed? So carried. 408, authorizing chair of the Ulster County Legislature to execute a contract with New York State Department of Health. A motion? Walter, to second. Second. Bartels, any discussion? All those in favor? Opposed? So carried. 409, amending 2021 budget for funding for New York State Department of Health for epidemiology and laboratory capacity. Can I get a motion? Say Walter, second. Bartels, discussion? All those in favor? Opposed? So carried. 410, approving execution of contract for $79,986.92 for family of Woodstock. Got a motion? Say Bartels, second. Walter, discussion? All those in favor? Opposed? So carried. 411, execution of a contract amendment for $469,040 for AccuCare NH. A motion? Bartels, Walter, second. Discussion? All those in favor? Opposed? So carried. 412, approving execution of a contract amendment with Westchester County Healthcare Corporation. Okay, a motion? And Walter, second. Haynes? Any discussion? Okay. All those in favor? Opposed? I'll be in favor as well. 413, rescinding resolution 346 of 2021. Can I get a motion? Actually, Walter, second. Bartels, any discussion? All those in favor? Opposed? So carried. 414, approving execution of contract amendment for $5,339 for Access Sports a Living. Can I have a motion? Legislator Walter, second. I lost Legislator Bartels. Get a second? Legislator Archer. Any discussion? All those in favor? Opposed? So carried. 415, approving execution of contract amendment with Aster Services Children and Family. Can I have a motion? Walters, second. Legislator Archer, discussion. All those in favor? Opposed? So carried. 416, execution of a contract amendment with Family of Woodstock. I got a motion. Walters, second. Bartels, any discussion? All those in favor? Opposed? So carried. 417, execution of a contract amendment with Gateway Community Industries. I have a motion. Motion Walter, second Bartels. Any discussion? All those in favor? Opposed? So carried. 418, approving execution of a contract amendment with Mental Health Association of Ulster County. Motion Walter, second Haynes. Discussion? All those in favor? Opposed? So carried. 419, approving execution of contract amendment with People. I have a motion. Walter, second. Bartels, discussion? Were you discussion, Bartels, or just you were seconding? Okay, thank you. All those in favor? Opposed? So carried. 420, approving execution of a contract amendment for Rehabilitation Support Services. Can I have a motion? Sir Walter, second. Bartels, any discussion? All those in favor? Opposed? So carried. 421, approving execution of a contract amendment with Family Services, Inc. Have a motion? Walter, second. Bartels, any discussion? All those in favor? Opposed? So carried. 422, establishing a policy to identify county positions that work directly with crime victims and persons of accused crimes.
Can I have a motion to just block 422 and 423? They go together.
422 and 423. Second on that? All for discussion? All those in favor on the block? Okay. On the block? You want to discuss or any discussion on the block? No. All right. All those in favor?
I mean, if we know what the, what is the financial impact?
Mr. Walter?
I don't believe there is any, because Family of Woodstock offers these trainings every month anyway, and several of these people actually go, but they would just be attending the monthly, you know, one of the monthly trainings that are offered. No additional, because we already pay Family of Woodstock.
Can Mark chime in on this?
I think Deputy Zach Milgram. Go ahead.
I'll just, we do have a significant contract. We do have enough openings to be able to handle the, you know, whatever it might be, the addition, additional individuals with families. So it's not anticipated that this would be an additional cost to the county.
Okay.
Very good. All those in favor? Opposed? So carried. Thank you.
I wouldn't have been opposed, but I just wanted to know what it was.
Okay. Thank you. 429, establishing a hotline to provide support and referral information for individuals who believe they've been discriminated against. Can I have a motion? Senator Walter, second. Bartels, discussion?
Do we have a...
Senator, hold on. Senator Haynes?
Yes, I understand. I had questions regarding this at the law enforcement meeting. Do we get any further information that supports the necessity for this, Steve?
Say, Walter, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I didn't know that you were asking me to provide supported documentation, but I guess I could say that if we point to the George Floyd incident nationally and the fact that the governor had us all, each municipality look at ways of doing police reform, And at all of those meetings, whether they're town hall meetings or individual people identified that they experienced discrimination, not just from law enforcement, but from different parts of the criminal justice system. I can also say that, as I told mentioned in the law enforcement public safety meeting, I have heard from each separate department complaints that be issued about the other department. So the DA would hear complaints about sheriff or law enforcement. The law enforcement would hear about complaints about the public defender's office. So people, you know, this is anecdotal. I don't think they counted, but they are getting complaints about other offices. So we recognize, one, that there are people who experience discrimination across our county from all sorts of areas of criminal justice, and two, that most people don't know exactly where to go when they have these complaints or concerns. And so this provides them the guidance.
You know, we had spoken about this in the meeting, and it, I understand that that the Human Rights Commission was filtering out some of these calls, and they were potentially feeling overwhelmed with how to direct these people and who to contact. Is that kind of where this was born out of?
Good. Let's sort of go ahead.
So it was born out of the feeling that in our county, there's not a way that individuals would know where to go if they have experienced discrimination in any area of the criminal justice system, and that a location that would be reasonable is the Human Rights Commission. They do receive some of these calls, but I would venture a guess that most of these people don't call anyone or call the wrong department than necessarily the Human Rights Commission. It was just felt that this would be the most logical direction to send people who are.
So in essence, there's an issue with communication.
Yes, I would say that most didn't know where to go if they were having an issue with some, if they felt the judge treated them unfairly, or a district attorney, or a public defender, mm-hmm. or a police officer. I could say I don't know exactly what I would do if a judge treated me unfairly. I would have no idea where to go and who to call.
And oftentimes, like I said, being that I handle a lot of these calls through my day job, I think that there might be something set up on a state level for this type of a call through the Attorney General's office. We might want to look into that. I don't want to do a duplication of efforts here. So that's what I was thinking we could look into.
Yes, I would prefer that we act locally and respond locally to our own constituents and make sure that they're treated with the respect that they need. You know, these are our people. These are our departments.
We all serve the same constituency at the end of the day, but I understand what you mean.
Yeah, and I think the other added part, which is offered, there's the second position of the person who we agreed in law enforcement public safety to take the position of the person who would field these phone calls out until the budget. But it's not just directing them on who to call, but insisting and holding their hands and making these phone calls sometimes, because it can be a very intimidating thing for people to do.
Chair Donaldson?
Well, I think they could call the Human Rights Commission now. I mean, the idea that we can promote the idea that you know, Human Rights Commission can feel these, but we also need to have somebody man that phone if that's the case. I'm not, in other words, it says that, you know, a number of people feel that this may be needed, but I'm not sure what the total financial impact is. And I'm not sure about the need for this particular thing without, it looks like we have certain things that are already in line, and we just need to clear up the communications on that.
Let's say, Walter.
I would say that just like Oracle has a dedicated line, this is providing people with a dedicated line for this reason. This is holding people's hands who feel this, who are experiencing discrimination in our county. These are it's a vulnerable group. It's a group of people who are feeling at risk among people who are of power. And so holding their hands as best as possible, creating this hotline, even if it's directed to the Human Rights Commission, not everyone knows there is a Human Rights Commission. While some people will call that number, this is providing the information directly to our constituents that say, here's an 800 number and you can call and somebody will help you if you're feeling like you've been discriminated against. I agree, it does need to have a person, and that is associated with this resolution, but the law enforcement public safety just made a universal decision that any of these resolutions that are a new hire, we would just hold for the budget cycle. And so Tyrone is aware and will be, if he doesn't have it in his budget, then I'll propose an amendment. So it is separate, but it is in the intention that the hotline exists and there is a person added to Human Rights Commission who can manage that hotline. But the idea of having, and I am willing to postpone it to make sure we have more financial impact numbers, because I feel like there should be billboards that tell people how much, you know, what the hotline number is. I want to make sure people are aware of this. There's no point in having it if people don't realize. But to not recognize that in our county, as well as our state and as well as our country, hundreds of people are experiencing discrimination from different aspects of the criminal justice system on a weekly, monthly basis is naive. And I would prefer that it doesn't get to a state of crisis and that we actually help people right in the earlier stages of their need.
Chair Donaldson.
I don't think anybody said that there wasn't, the people aren't being discriminated against. It. They always have and always will be. We understand that. We're just trying to figure out if this is the best way of dealing with the issue and what the cost will be in doing it. And not only that, if you're going to set something up, we want to make sure it's set up in a manner that somebody will know that they can call this and there's going to be somebody to man the call. Otherwise, you end up having even a worst case scenario when you turn around and you have somebody calling and then there's nobody there or they can't do anything about it. So I know they do have the ability to call the Human Rights Commission now. If you want to have an individual line, I don't have a problem with that, but I want to make sure that it's set up properly and that we understand what the cost is and who is actually going to do it and who's going to act on it afterwards. You know, once that's called, that call is made, you're going to have to act on it and you're going to have to act on it quickly. Otherwise, it's kind of not worth having.
Leader Heppner.
Thank you. You know, to Legislative Walter's point, you know, and it sits to the spirit of the most recent version of the human rights law that was developed out of the task force led by myself and Leader Ronk, to have a more on the ground access point for individuals rather than having to go through the burdensome process at times to reach out to a state agency. You know, whether it's the DOJ or the Attorney General's office. But I do believe, and Amber might be able to look into this and help us, is that we allocated significantly more as part of that kind of adding more teeth to the Human Rights Commission to the budget line. And to see, you know, where that is sitting and then work within the confines of the law that we actually just updated with recommendations from Tyrone and working myself and Leader Ronk in the executive's office to even update it further. This might be an avenue to where, especially going into budget season, we can really work this in and make this a plausible mechanism for local residents to have, which I do agree with Legislator Walter, you know, that ability to have local access to support is important.
Let's say Walter.
Yeah. So, I mean, I would prefer to have the person hired now, but I also at the same time recognize this is not the right timing for it. I do think that in the meantime, if this is established, Tyrone will do his best to handle it until the next budgetary time, where at which point somebody could be hired. or he could put in the request if it really has an exceeded amount. I will make a motion to postpone it till the next meeting and work with Amber and Natalie to basically put a specific financial impact in terms of the cost of having a hotline, a number dedicated, and basically its publicity that's associated with making sure people know about it.
Okay, a second. Chair Donaldson, your second.
Yeah, well, I'll second it, but I mean, we also have to make sure that there is the right responses being made, because that's part of the thing, is actually referring some people over to a state organization. I mean, it's important to have a local person, because sometimes you can solve the problem without going to the state. Sometimes you're going to require the state. So I think not only that, but they have to act and be prepared to know what they're going to be doing with that call.
Yes, understood. And this is why, I mean, this came out of a year and a half of conversations for the Criminal Justice Reform Task Force, including the Human Rights Commissioner and others. So there is that full recognition that there is specific protocol for each of the different criminal justice departments. And it's just a matter of having a list of the right place to call for each one.
All right, any other discussion? All right, all those in favor of postponing? Anybody opposed? All right, resolution has been postponed. Is there any other business to discuss? Just remind everybody to look at the-
John, are we discussing, I'm sorry, the memorandum?
Yeah, I was reading down first to the calendar is what I started to say is please make sure you review the dates for the budget dates that we have coming up and that there's no conflicts. And if you do, please reach out to one of the staff or myself to try to, you know, work through that. We do want to, you know, try to go through this very thoroughly as possible and work with our consultants. And then, yeah, discussion on the memo. So, Leslie Walter, you want to talk about it at all? Or?
Yeah, I mean, I guess it would help if is anyone here that's on legislative programs? My one concern, I'm totally supportive of having strong, solid matrix. The required gateway into this whole thing is about it assisting the strategic and implementing key legislative priorities. I'm not sure if I know what our mission is or our strategic objectives are or our key legislative priorities. So I guess I feel a little like as the gateway questions, that's kind of challenging. And I'm curious if they have backup where they'll describe what our mission is, our strategic objectives and our key priorities are. But I just feel like that's I'm not clear how I would respond to that. So I just don't know. Is Abe, are you on that committee? That was my only.
Amber, you want to go ahead, Amber?
So I had worked intimately with Legislator DeLon and Legislator Criswell for the development of this. And the thought process behind those sections in particular were that the legislature annually, upon hearing the county executive's budget speech and receiving that proposed budget request, would then have some kind of idea or be able to come up with some idea of where the gaps are in the community, what needs funding in the current year, where does the legislature want to focus its efforts in the subsequent year. So at that point, it really becomes a legislative decision what those priority areas are and how that funding, how you guys envision that funding being broken up or distributed.
Legislator Walter.
Yeah, and I appreciate that. And I appreciate even the whole complexity of the whole document. I guess I'm saying if I'm filling out this cover letter as an agency, I really wouldn't know what the mission is, the strategic objectives or the priorities are, unless there's going to be listed somewhere every year for me to refer to. That's all I'm saying is it's a big ask, or I don't even know where I would look for it right this this moment. So that I support the whole concept and everything else. It's just that cover sheet that I'm finding intimidating.
All right. Amber, you have more to say, or you're good?
Well, so the only thing that I can add to that is that in my mind, I think the vision is to have this advertised in some capacity. So in that instance, we would have the priority areas listed on the website where you click into the application. So I understand that's not something that's tangible today. So it is kind of like, you know, conceptual at this juncture.
All right. Controller Gallagher, and then Legislator Bartels, and then Chair Donaldson. Okay.
I wanted to just mention that as I looked at it, I thought it would be a really good idea for you guys to include a request for what Novo Foundation support these agencies have, not just in the current year's budget, but going forward. And I wanted to mention that Dutchess County does put out sort of a priorities list for some of the similar type grants that is, you know, that they help guide the applications. Thanks.
Actually, Bartels and then Donaldson.
Oh, thank you. So I really do appreciate the work, and this does bring us closer to something really tangible, which we've lacked in legislative programs for a long time. But I think Legislator Walter sort of touched on something that I really struggle with, and I'm just going to say it here, and I look forward to the future conversations. And actually, Comptroller Gallagher just used language that kind of touches on my discomfort as well. And that's, you know, when we talk about legislative priorities and the legislature's strategic objectives, I really struggle with how that intersects with the county's priorities and the county's strategic objectives. And especially when this is coming at the same time as a budget, and when we start to think of these things as grants, which we're not really allowed to give grants. You know, we call them something different. We're contracting for services, but when you advertise and do basically a call, you know, an outreach, it starts very much to me to feel like a call for proposals for grants. Like the county's got money to give out, and this is, you know, please apply. And this is our mission. And from my first year, I've always struggled with it. So I really hope that we can start to get to a place where many of the priorities that the legislature has identified through these programs get picked up through the budget process in the appropriate places within the executive budget, which is, we all know, then obviously approved by us. So, but I appreciate that there's something tangible to talk about, because that's not been the case before.
Thank you, Chair Donaldson.
Well, actually, there are certain things that were tangible, particularly dealing with the arts and certain ones. But actually, Legislator Walter actually pointed out something that I also had the same concern with, because, you know, we created a new matrix, but we do not have, you know, what our goals and priorities are, what we're requesting somebody to tell us how they help us meet our goals, or, you know, when we don't have them. And so that's a little problematic. And I do, and yeah, they are grants. We could, you know, you could call it whatever you wish to call it, but in the end, they're sort of a grant, and there are things that are coming up. There's a lot of things, like, for instance, that we need to prioritize, and we need to actually make sure that is in as part of our goals. You know, perhaps one of the things is promote incubator businesses, things of that nature that a lot of nonprofits help out, you know, doing. And so we need to actually establish those and say, hey, how can you help us out? How can they, maybe, you know, whether it be seasons that a new 501, a relatively new 501C, or community action, one that's been there for a very long time. But all these things may help us out and may help us reach those goals of encouraging, shall we say, minority and women businesses through an incubator. So that should be one of the grants, whatever or whatever you wish to call that, and that and others. But we need to make those clear. And I think the conversation has to be had with a group with the executive and sitting down and hammering that out so we can take this money that with the American Rescue Funds and use it in a way that's going to benefit us the best.
Mr. Parody, did you have your hand up?
Yeah, I did, if I might, just for a minute. Yeah, yeah. You know, I really wasn't involved when they drew this up, and I'm glad we're moving in the right direction. My big issue is that we have to understand what the scope of services is that we may or may not be looking for. And I think that, Legislator Bartel, not to ever put words in her mouth, but we don't want to consider member items. So you call them whatever you want. But we have to be very careful to be aware of audit codes, national CPA rules and regulations for audits and potential conflicts of interest. You know, I do think we have to I don't want to use the word prioritize, but make sure we understand there's all sorts of non-for-profits out there, which is called for in this legislation. I mean, there's charities that are non-for-profits, and there's sometimes almost national businesses that are non-for-profits. So where is this going to go? It has served thus far as a good way of sustaining some groups, but I don't think it would ever, ever have passed muster in terms of what we're looking for and the procedures and policies that the money was awarded correctly. So I'm looking forward to the discussion. Thank you.
Thank you. Did anybody else have their hands up? I didn't get to already. I don't think so. All right. I'll just say I do agree with Legislator Bartels. You know, if we're looking to fill in gaps for services that are not covered in the budget, then that's really on us as the legislature, as the policy setting body. We should have made that a priority, if you want, as a, you know, policy that we want to see accomplished. And then it would be added to the budget through the executive's office being able to make that happen. So I think that's our first way of handling things. I think that's most of the best way. But I wonder if we maybe, Amber, if we could do just a sample so we can see how sort of like an example of an agency that's well known that we've been dealing with for a while, how they would fill that out. And maybe it'll help to, you know, people to see a real life example of how that would be done. I think I can, and I did say this to the people involved, that there's a tremendous amount of work put into it. I think it's good. And it's a good direction to go in instead of the way we were having it before, just sort of very loose. And it did give the, you know, appearance that we were just handing out money to people willy-nilly, and there was no real structure to it. So any other discussion? All right. Can I get a motion to adjourn?
Yep.
Walter second. Parody, any yep. All those in favor?
You got it.
All right. Thank you all.
Good night, everyone. Good night.